Sometimes when we touch,
looking for this.
Honesty is too much. And I am no bad man.
This is all staying in. That's a great part about this.
This is going to be the show.
This is, we've already started. We're 10 minutes in. You want to play some music at all? Hi, Carrie.
Hi, I already see. I just opened up the Excel document. And I see Justin Vernon's name.
Come on now.
Neither of those.
Stephen Thompson. Who are you working for? New Pornographers and the National. Do they need any more press?
I thought we were highlighting some of the, you know.
Yeah, the most anticipated releases.
I know.
I'm just being a page view whore.
Let's kick it off with something we just were listening to upstairs, Robin.
No, it's not T-Rex.
It's not Smith Westerns.
All right.
It's our spring music preview, and
this is the Black Keys.
Do it all in that voice. Let's listen and shut up for a minute.
Well, I must admit, I can't explain any of these thoughts racing through my brain.
It's true.
Baby, I'm howling for you.
These folks are going to be on fire this year.
Yeah, they have been on fire.
Yeah,
they've been really busy the last few years. They had
the Black Keys.
Black Keys. They had Attack and Release in 2008. They did Black Rock, the collaboration with a number of hip hop artists last year, and now this album, Brothers. It's called Brothers, and it's out May 18th.
There were two huge lines at South by Southwest that I walked by and didn't get into the show. One, I didn't want to get into the show because I was on my way to Perry Grip.
I had to hear the hamster on a piano guy, so I missed.
So I missed Perez Hilton.
Apologies to Dan Auerbach and Patrick Carney.
And then the other line was for the Black Keys playing, I think, at the Mohawk, and that line was just, I think, it was huge, monstrous. And
that's because they're a great live band.
Yes,
not only do they put out really good records, they pretty much slay live.
I just heard this cut and a few others just before we came down here, and loved it immediately. This is going to be a great record.
Baby, I'm
would you be able to make love to this song, Robin?
No, just to clarify, would you be able to make love while this song is playing?
That's our editor, Stephen Thompson. Carrie Brownstein, you're in Portland, Oregon.
With a tremendous amount of concentration, yes.
A line from Arrested Development, no doubt. Welcome, everybody.
Oh, it's so great to be here.
And first, before we get started, I just want to apologize for the engineer in Portland, Oregon, for our behavior for the next few hours.
And no, this is my favorite engineer and my friend, Stephen Cray. He's egging me on.
All right.
We're doing just fine.
Thanks, Stephen.
Just take his shirt off.
All right.
Can we take this from the top? Black Keys. The song is Howling for You from the album Brothers. Out May 18th. Really looking forward to
it. Yeah, it is really great. Carrie, you got a one you want to start us off with?
Let's start out with The Subtle Turnips.
Or is it? Of course. We should start the show as so many shows before it have come.
I think it's with Turn Hips.
I think so, too. I think it's The Subtle Turn Hips.
But it's subtle, so you got to say
it. It's subtle,
so kind of
the H
whiz by it, yeah.
Bob, could you help us out here, Bob?
The album title is not at all subtle, right, Carrie?
What is it, Bob?
It's spelled T-E-R-D.
But how would you say that? I don't even understand how you would say that.
You want to play it for us, Carrie?
Sure. Let me just say, this band, they've put out two records since 1990. So this album
the heck
is
are
very
they doing?
Highly anticipated.
Auto Mechanics?
They are from France. I don't know what they're doing. They're drinking red wine and eating delicious bread and cheese and just being French. But anyway, their album is called Turd, the word that Bob wouldn't say. The song is called Two Two.
It must mean something in French.
Teared. Oh, sorry, teared.
I don't know what to say. I don't know what to write about. I don't know what to say.
Two records in 20 years?
I think they spent those 20 years just painstakingly crafting.
Yes, well, polish, you can tell this has a lot of polish on these songs.
Exactly.
You can't polish.
They've been boning up on the Swell Maps and TV personalities out of England. Yeah, two albums and 3 7-inches since 1990.
Well, so. I love it. Do you think, has this sound ever gone away, or is it just me in thinking that there's been this real resurgence in the last year or so of this messy, loud, clangy garage rock?
I mean, this is garage, but it does, like I said, sound a little bit more like an Englishman's take on garage rock.
It's more of the Stranglers or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we've definitely been talking a lot about garage rock that was coming out of, you know, literally garages and basements across America in the 60s. But this has had a little bit more of a punk feel to it to me.
I do feel like the last couple of songs, this and the Black Keys, both sort of sound completely out of time to me. It's very hard for me to even place them in a continuum.
Well, in our whole show, or not showcase, but our day party at South by Southwest had sounded a lot like that. With new emerging bands, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think that what we heard more sophistication, more melody and stuff in Smith Westerns and Surfer Blood and Local Natives and even in Sleigh Bells, I think, than that. Just saying.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think there's always people that are going to be more blown out, more lo-fi, more treble up to 10 and bass to 1 than anyone else. So even as there's a perception of a garage rock resurgence, there's always going to be someone that's going to sound growlier than everyone else.
By the way, the French translation of T-E-R-D is T-E-R-D.
Yeah, I tried looking that up too, Bob.
Thanks for trying.
You guys are really good at your jobs.
Stephen Thompson, what do you got for us?
Oh, I have something that sounds just exactly like. No,
okay.
No. a few months ago when we did breakup songs, I picked a song by the band Stars, which specializes in sort of songs about the wreckage after the war that is love. And so I picked Stars again.
Stretching.
Yeah, I know. I'm really, really breaking outside of my comfort zone. But I was just today listening to sort of an advanced stream of the new Stars record, which comes out June 22nd. The album is called The Five Ghosts. And not surprisingly, it is an album of songs about the wreckage following a lost love. But part of what I love about Stars is they sort of mix these string-swept, boy-girl, doom-struck ballads with kind of incredibly fizzy-sounding pop music. They're kind of like the saddest dance pop band this side of, like, Metric. And this particular song, I think, is terrific. It's called Fixed. What you want?
Climbing walls, it's the one
that's a good one.
It's terrific. I mean, it's got the prototypical Stars line in it, that touch turns into fisticuffs.
Yeah.
It's what all their songs are about. And I just love this band.
And have you heard the whole album? Or
yes,
just the song?
And it's terrific. I mean, I just got it and have sort of given it a preliminary listen. And it's got that mixture, like I said, of the fizzy and then the ones that are just slowly stabbing you in the heart.
I have a record
That's good, though. That's a good thing.
A good
stabbing in the heart.
I have a record by Josh Ritter. Josh Ritter's made, what is this? I think his seventh record. It's called So Runs the World Away. Josh Ritter has always made records that I really like. There's always a standout two or three songs on his records that just knock me out. So I put this record on and thought, okay, I'm going to get a couple of really great songs and a good album. Well, this is it. This will easily be my favorite Josh Ritter record. He has stretched. He's made a great folk record. He does this, I think it's called Bloodbath Folk, is like
folk,
the last...
Folk Bloodbath.
Folk Bloodbath, thanks, and at the end of the record, which is sort of this ballad of... It's like every great folk ballad imaginable is wrapped up in the tune. He stretches the texture on the record. Songs start off one way and end another. I'm really in love with this record by Josh Ritter. It comes out May the 4th. I know that we're going to have a first listen on this, for those who don't know, our first listen series, where NPR Music puts up a record a week before the record comes out and lets you listen to it. So every Monday we put up new first listens. Josh Ritter will be one. That'll go up the last week of April. Let's give a listen to this song by Josh Ritter. It's called Rattling Locks.
There was a time I had the right key. Rolled the tumbler, slid the bolt on every wandering eye I caught. But something has changed, this is all wrong. I'm out here in the cold with a wet face, so rattle in your locks. There ain't nothing new about the world that I ain't learned from just a standing here in this spot. Ain't nothing new about the world that I ain't learned from just watching you go by. I tell myself people are cold and strangers pass, separate themselves from love by building walls 100,000 miles high. Frostbite and heart sickness, ain't neither one of them so bad if you can understand the reason why. Black hole, black hole, are your eyes as empty as they look? Black hole, black hole, how can your two eyes be empty as they look? All along I thought I was giving you my love, but you were just stealing it. Now I want back every single thing that you took.
So hard for a singer-songwriter to distinguish themselves, I think, especially on your seventh record.
That's the thing. He keeps surprising me. When he did the Golden Age of Radio, I loved it.
Yeah.
But I honestly, I don't know what it was about that record that made me think that he'd probably stay with that sound forever, right? You know, every record I expected it to sound like that. He keeps surprising me. He keeps, as you said, stretching on every record. I think that sounded amazing.
Well, part of what makes him distinctive is he's a great lyricist.
Yeah, Josh Ritter is a great lyricist. Absolutely. Robin Hilton, what do you got?
Let's go with the Minor Birds. It's a new band with Laura Berhan, who was with Georgie James. And Georgie James was a duo based here in D.C. with John Davis, and he went on. They broke up in 2008.
He broke up right after a project song, but that's another
NPR,
story.
NPR killed them.
And we take full responsibility. And Georgie James split up in 2008. John Davis started Title Tracks, and Laura Burhan did The Minor Birds. And they have their first record coming out. Let's see, what is the date on this? April 27th. It's called What We Lose in the Fire, We Gain in the Flood. And Richard Swift, who's an artist we've talked about on the show before, produced this record. And Laura Burhan said in the liner notes that she wanted to do a record that sounded like Neil Young doing Motown. And I don't know that she got that exactly, but it's a great record. I love her voice, and it's very gospel-y, folky sort of sound. And this song is called Give It Time. Georgie James, John Davis was very much the driving creative force, I felt like, in that band. And you always wonder, what can she do? And I think she really, really shows it on this record. She has an incredible voice, a great range, really sultry there. I would have never guessed that she could sing like that.
You know, it may not sound exactly like Neil Young performing Motown, but it sounds like she's trying to sound like Neil Young performing Motown. I like it.
Yeah, I do too.
I like it too. Good job, Robin.
I will grudgingly accept that Robin has picked a good song.
No, Robin always picks good songs.
I don't know that's true, actually.
I was kidding anyway about Robin's songs being good.
I have to separate my enjoyment of Robin's taste in music with my disdain for Robin personally.
And I had sent Carrie a note just asking her, just, you know, pump him up a little bit, would you, this time?
Yeah.
Thanks, Carrie. So,
thanks, guys.
Yeah, sure. What do you got, Carrie?
Okay, so this band is called Fresh and Onlys, and they are from San Francisco. And they have an EP that's out this month. They also have a full-length coming out in the fall. And again, people are going to put them in this garage rock category, but I think they're infusing some Guided by Voices in there and a little bit of doo-wop and just some real melodic stuff. And I'm really excited about this band. I saw them at South by Southwest, and I encourage everyone to check this out. This is from the EP, which is out this month, and it is called You're Known to Wander.
Bonanza.
Totally.
guys know the words to the Bonanza theme?
Carrie, what did you pick for South by Southwest that sounded like the Bonanza theme?
What? I picked another Bonanza theme? Do you feel like this is just coursing through my veins and it's secretly my favorite show? I've never seen it.
Because
does it
here
star
in the West, we're living the West Bonanza. Here in the West, we're living in the West.
There are worse riffs that you could
no, absolutely. I actually like the song.
I mean, at least all my songs, it's like all your songs sounded like they were the Family Ties theme. That would probably be a bigger problem.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess in the drum, you're talking about the way the drums and the bass.
Should I sing the theme again?
About please, yes.
If I got the lyrics right, it's here in the West, we're living in the West Bonanza. Here in the West, we're living in the West, that's where the West should be. But it doesn't sound right, does it?
Nah,
that's
I
where
the
West should
dun,
be.
Dun, 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 yeah, dun, 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 dun.
Did that also star Michael Landon?
Yes, you have a thing.
Well, I did love Little House on the Prairie. Yeah. And I loved Michael Landon and Victor French, who played his best friend, the bearded guy. Do you guys know who I'm talking about?
No, I was thinking
did
of Hoss.
Men did not watch that show, did they?
Not this man.
You're assuming
House on
that
the Prairie?
You're assuming that
I watched
men.
It every week.
Okay, thank you. Well, exactly. Men didn't watch the show.
I grew up in Kansas. Of course I watched Little House on the Prairie.
I grew up with an older sister, and so of course I watched Little House on the Prairie.
See, thank you. So the three of us can talk about it later.
I'm also, for all intents and purposes, a girl. So
I read all the books, too.
Okay, Robin's a bigger girl than I am.
We should have a special show where we just talk about our favorite TV programs and the songs that help us get back into that frame of mind.
Well, we can dump, like, not play the National and just talk about TV themes.
I'm sure our public would approve.
A lot of high profile releases. One of them is the National.
Yeah, like, I went ahead and front loaded a bunch of, like, big stuff that I was really excited about. So Carrie has her garage rock, and I have my gloom and doom. But I am absolutely in love with the first single from the new album by the National, which is an incredibly bleak band that I love with all my heart.
We need to talk about this. Let's hear this song, and then I feel like the four of us should talk about this National song.
Yeah. You don't like it?
Mm-mm.
Wow, I think you're wrong. The album is called High Violet.
H-I-G-H,
Violet, like the color and like the flower. It's out May 11th, and the song is called Blood Buzz, Ohio.
Stand up straight at the foot of your love. I lift my shirt up. Stand up straight at the foot of your love. I lift my shirt up. I was carried to Ohio in a swarm of. I never married, but Ohio don't remember me. Lay my head on the hood of your car, I take it too far. Lay my head on the hood of your car. Right. Take it too far. I still owe money to the money, to the money I owe. I never thought about love when I thought about home. I still owe money to the money, to the money I owe. The floors are falling out from. Everybody I know, I'm on a blood buzz. Yes, I am. I'm on a blood buzz. I'm on a blood buzz. God, I am. I'm on a blood buzz.
really, really good. We're going to put full versions of these songs online, npr.org/allsongs.
I'm right and Carrie's wrong, is what you're trying to say.
I don't know what's not to love about that. I love the imagery and with all the national
songs.
Let's
talk about two issues. One, Stephen's love for depressive music, and then Carrie's dislike for the song. Let's start with Carrie.
Carrie's dislike for Stephen.
No. I think that that song is perfectly fine, and I do love the national... What's the guy's name that sings in this band?
Matt Berdinger. I'm probably mispronouncing his name. Matt...
I love the lyrics of the National. I loved Boxer, but I fear that that's the only National album I'm going to love. And there was something about that album that seemed to come out at the right time. I feel like everybody loved that record. The mood of it was perfect. It's a great record, and I remember writing about it on the blog and just kind of being surprised at my affection for it and my love for it and the way I returned to it over and over. And there's something about hearing the National now that I feel no urgency to love it or to wrap myself around
it. Is it in the way the voices? Is it too serious? Is it too...
I mean, I blame Carrie. It could just be Carrie. It could be that Carrie has changed. She's devolved.
Devolved. There's kind of a detachment there that... And I'm okay with detached and the affect of detachment.
I don't feel like the words are actually detached, though.
The words are... intellectual, and they are too intellectual for me.
But
it's a great, it's a very well crafted song. It's very crafted.
I can't wait to hear the whole album.
Well, I was actually born in Ohio, so part of it with this song is like I was carried to Ohio in a swarm of bees, and Ohio don't remember me. Yeah, I don't know. It hits me square.
So I have another record that it reminds me a little of the vocal style that we just heard. It's by a group called Linfinity. It's a Brooklyn band. Dylan Von Wagner is the singer in the band. I don't know hardly anything about it other than when we listened to 1,000 songs for Austin, Linfinity was on my short list. Never got to see them while we were there. Never got to bring them up in the preview. And then the whole album came in when we got back from Austin. I'm going to play the song that I fell in love with when I was listening to 1,000 songs. The song's called Holy Rain. The record's called Martians Bloom. It comes out April 27th from a group called Linfinity, like infinity with an L in front of it.
This is not to be confused with Martin's Room, right?
What?
There was a movie called Martin's Room, and this one's called Martians Bloom.
Wow.
Are you talking about Marvin's Room?
Oh, Marvin's Room.
Hit it, Hilton.
Not to be confused.
Our producer, everybody.
Not to be confused with our producer.
I hate myself.
Carrie Robin didn't like it at all. Are you with him on that? Yeah, okay.
I hate being with Robin on anything. No, I loved it. I didn't dislike it. Yeah. I was a little perplexed by it, though. I have to say, I don't. What are you finding in that song? What's your enthusiasm?
Oh, I love that. I'm so glad I'm not being asked that question.
First of all, I love the vocal style. So that off is going to either turn you off or turn you on. It's got
all that I love about
Bryan Ferry and stuff and Anthony and that just from the heart. And I like the instrumentation on it a lot. I mean, you know, violin is not something that is well loved in a lot of rock music. Maybe it leans to prog rock for some people. I thought that intertwined with the voice was just great. Totally loved it. And the beat was good.
I like the little string swell that came up there just.
Yeah, no, I saw chills.
No, that was cool.
Robin liked the part where it was faded down, and then we started talking.
Right when you brought it under and we weren't hearing it as much. Awesome.
Can't wait for your next. Actually, I'm going to like this next song. Pick it, Robin.
You mentioned South by Southwest, and of course, we all got back from South by Southwest recently. And one of the bands that I talked about seeing there is a group called Villagers from Dublin. And when I saw Villagers play at South by Southwest, it was just the front guy, Connor O'Brien, and he was by himself. It was just him and his acoustic guitar. And then not long after we got back, the record came in. It's called Becoming a Jackal, and it's really nice to hear these songs sort of fleshed out and fully orchestrated. It's really surprising. It's a lot lusher and sort of more dramatic and theatrical.
Ireland band?
Dublin. A lot more theatrical than I was expecting it to be based on the little acoustic set I saw, but I love it. This song from the album Becoming a Jackal is called I Saw the Dead.
Just a minute. Are you easily led? Let me show you the back room where I saw the dead dancing like children on a midsummer morn. And they asked me to join. They asked me to join. But my body was stubborn, wouldn't let me give in. So I offered a good deed in return for a sin. Now they got me where they want me, in this daily parade. And I'd walk unafraid, I would walk.
The whole song seemed to wait for that moment.
It's,
you know,
he's
really,
obviously telling a story, and it's really creepy, just the whole idea. I'll show you the back room where I saw the dead dancing around like children. Yeah. They asked me to join them. I just think that's really beautifully creepy, and I love his voice. It's Connor O'Brien. talked
the
with
Villagers.
And Villagers is the band. I talked with the manager after they got done playing, and their South by Southwest was actually their debut in the States, and they're going to do a full tour later on this summer.
Excellent, with full band.
Yeah, and they just signed with Domino. So
good.
Cool.
I like it. I want to hear the whole record.
I
feel like that song was building.
It's really great narrative.
Okay, we'll put the whole song online. Carrie Brownstein.
All right. Well, I'm not going to play anything grodgy right now because, as you guys,
Stephen Thompson.
No. As you guys know, I've spent the last couple of years with you grappling with the way that
you
guys
have.
Grappling with the way that your taste has informed my own, and that I just sit around at home listening to this sensitive boy music and just feeling down and forlorn.
Our work here is done.
I'm sorry, Carrie, where is this going?
And that's fine. That's fine. No. This next song is in this tradition, although it's sung by a woman. But I'm just justifying why all of a sudden in our last couple shows, I've just been laying on the straight up rock. I mean, time to just crawl out of the shame spiral I've been in.
You got into by talking to us.
That being said, I am going to play a song by a very well-respected artist and singer and songwriter, Tracy Thorn, who's been around for a very long time, since the early 80s. First, she was in the Marine Girls. Then she put out pretty much a classic record called A Distant Shore, which was a solo album. Then her and her partner, Ben Watt, burned many years in a band called Everything But the Girl. And now Tracy Thorn is back, I believe, with her second solo album in the last couple years. It's called Love and Its Opposite. And she has one of the most distinct voices I think I've ever heard. And this song is called Oh, the Divorces. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. This song is called Oh, the Divorces.
Exclamation mark.
Oh, the Divorces.
Oh, the Divorces.
The Divorces.
Who's next? Who's next? Always the ones that you least expect. They seem so strong. It turned out she wanted more all along. And each time I hear who's to part, I examine. See how it stands. Wonder if it's still in safe hands. Who's fled? Who's fled? Who's been caught out in somebody's bed? I should. Text. He was a charmer. I wish him bad karma. Oh, I know we shouldn't take sides. But that one was his fault. This one is her fault. No one gets off without paying the ride. And
so glad to hear the new Rufus Wainwright.
I remember Carrie the way she used to be when she was so rock and roll.
Now I'm just sitting in a corner thinking about all my friends that are getting divorced. They're not even married.
when you were playing that, I thought, wait, did I pick this?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to reaffirm my closeness to you all with a divorce song.
Thank you.
It's pretty devastating, that song.
It's a devastating song. I mean, it's a domestic drama. I feel like Tracy Thorn has always been uses a really intense exacto knife into this sort of domestic
she can pull
domestic
that off.
Dramas. Yeah. She can pull that off without it, without making you cringe, or at least without making me cringe.
Speaking of cringing,
Stephen Thompson.
All right. Well, I'm going to counter program against that. I of course have an incredibly slow, pretty song, but I'm going to skip to just an incredibly cool song by a guy who.
It is. This is a lot of cool in one song.
That was seriously the stupidest segue ever.
What I'll do is when I cut it, I'll duplicate it.
Yes. That would be fantastic. When we were preparing for South by Southwest, an artist we really wanted to include that we were unable to include for scheduling reasons is a guy named Stephen Ellison, who goes by the name Flying Lotus.
And he was flying out of Austin.
He was flying out of Austin on the day of our show, so we were unable to include him. Amazing sort of laptop sound sculpture. The guy actually does the music in the Adult Swim commercials, which was sort of what made this nerd get all excited. But this particular song is called Quakes. It's from an album called Cosmogramma that comes out May 4th. It's got this incredible sort of liquid sound to it. So put on your headphones if they're not on already. This is Quakes.
Flying Lotus, yeah.
All about texture and tone and just sort of an overall feeling. It's not like there's a, you know, this melodic narrative that's taking you somewhere. You really just get lost in that, in the whole, all the textures on that record.
Yeah, I mean, the thought of putting that live on our, I think we were talking about him as like for our day party stage. I mean, it would have been a guy standing at a laptop, but just the sound would have, yeah. I feel like, done the job of visuals.
I was waiting for a vocoder to come in at some point and start speaking to me. And I like the sounds and stuff a lot. And one of the reasons I was thinking of vocoder was because about 40 minutes before we walked in the door here today, I generally try to pick my stuff at the last minute because it annoys Robin when he puts a little spreadsheet together. I got an email that said, first Laurie Anderson record's coming out in 10 years. Now, Laurie Anderson is someone who, back in the late 70s, as a performance artist.
The first
artist,
Laurie Anderson record is not coming out in 10 years. It's the first Laurie Anderson record in 10 years is coming out.
Thank you.
Wow. Bob's mind
every day.
Bob's mind is blown.
Every day. So, in the late 70s, Laurie Anderson used to play lofts here in D.C. a bunch in art spaces and put on performances that grew and grew and grew, and eventually got a record contract to Warner Brothers and put out some very good records. The first few records were really good, but that wasn't her strength. Her strength is really in mixing media, mixing photography, mixing sounds, music, narrative. And so I wasn't always in love with her music, but her first two records I was. And so I'm really eager to hear what she's up to these days. Her record is produced with Lou Reed, and it's called Homeland. It's a story that she's been traveling with for a while now, so these are songs from Homeland, but I've not seen or heard any of them. And I've only heard about 45 seconds of this one song, so we're all going to listen
to That's what we're going to get is 45 seconds of one song?
No, I've got the whole album, but I just got literally, I was on the phone, and I'm saying, is it uploading yet? And he said, 95% done. I said, I think we're going to make it.
So do we have any idea if this is any good?
We'll never make it.
So, it's a world premiere.
That's right. Laurie Anderson from the record Homeland. It's called Only an Expert.
Now, only an expert can deal with the problem. Because half the problem is seeing the problem. And only an expert can deal with the problem. Only an expert can deal with the problem. So if there's no expert dealing with the problem, it's really actually twice the problem. Because only an expert can deal with the problem. Only an expert can deal with the problem. In America, we like solutions. We like solutions to problems. And there's so many companies that offer solutions. Companies with names like the pet solution, the hair solution, the debt solution, the world solution, the sushi solution. Companies with experts ready to solve these problems. Because only an expert can see there's a problem. And only an expert can deal with the problem. Only an expert can deal with the problem. Say you're invited to be on Oprah, and you don't have a problem. But you want to go on the show, and so you need a problem. And so you invent a problem. But if you're not an expert in problems, you're probably not going to make up a very plausible problem. And so you're probably going to get nailed. You're going to get exposed. And you're going to have to bow down and apologize and beg for the public's forgiveness.
Because only an expert can deal with the problem.
I don't know who's doing what I assume is guitar.
Yeah, I wanted to know who the guitarist is.
Yeah, I know that a member of Fortet is on this record, and Anthony Hegarty is somewhere on the record. John Zorn plays saxophone.
I think of Adrian Belew on Mr. Heartbreak, which I love.
That wild chaos.
Yeah.
I like her work a lot, so I'm eager to hear the whole record. What I skimmed around the record, this was the one that jumped out. There was a lot of pretty stuff and very subtle stuff all over the record, too.
Does she actually sing much on the record?
I don't know, because I just got it. But.
I'm a Laurie Anderson fan.
You're just your source for Laurie Anderson-related knowledge.
And Flying Lotus.
I love
whatever you want to know about either of those artists.
I love Big Science. Mr. Heartbreak is one of my all-time favorite records. When Strange Angels came out in the late 80s, she sang on that. I thought she had a gorgeous voice. And I hear this now, and I'm definitely a Laurie Anderson fan, but I wonder how relevant that music is now. You know, when she started out in the 70s and even into the 80s, you know, not a lot of people were doing the crazy stuff that she was doing, the poly, you know, interesting polyrhythms and interesting, surprising sounds, you know, and now, you know, every kid in his bedroom with a laptop is doing this stuff. And I'm wondering what her place in is now.
But it was not, at least me, I don't think that it ever was. You know, the David Van Tiegums playing percussion and stuff. I don't think that was ever what her music was about. That's what her records became. But her, to me, she's all about the story. And she's all about, I think she's one of America's great storytellers and has a way of insight into very ordinary day-to-day stuff that just you go, whoa. And that's what Laurie Anderson is about. That's what her art is about. It's taking the sort of everyday and opening your eyes to it and seeing it in a new way. Less about the music.
Yeah, and she tells those stories with a real voice of authority, too. Yeah,
and sometimes in the voice of a man. In fact, I think she's wearing a mustache on this.
She's in drag of some sort on the...
Yeah. Where are we heading?
When women dress up like men, is it drag? Or is it only drag when...
Yeah, because there are drag kings.
Drag kings.
Yeah.
What do you mean, Stephen? You seem to know an awful lot about this.
I've been to a few drag king shows. We're cutting this out, right?
Of course not. This is... As far as I'm concerned, it just took a turn for the better.
Copy paste.
Robin, I can't really believe you asked that question. When you watched like a documentary or a MTV Spring Break or something.
No, I've never really had TV much. Oh, is it my turn?
Let's
really?
I think it's my turn. Yay!
Each of us has two left.
How many people in this room and in Oregon have heard of Damian Jurado?
Oh, I have.
I have. Isn't he from Seattle?
He is. He's a singer-songwriter from Seattle.
I have like 10 of his records.
No, you don't.
He's a mope with a guitar. Of course I have his records.
All right, well, you can't have 10 of his records because he just released his... He's about to release his 10th record.
I have it.
He's been around for a long time. He's been around since the mid-90s, and he is about to release his 10th record. It's called St. Bartlett. Just I really love his voice. I love his production. Great sounds. He is a singer-songwriter from Seattle, as Carrie mentioned. And I've been spending some time with this new record, but the song I keep going back to is the opening cut called Cloudy Shoes. Did you actually want to hear this song?
No.
I
thought we were going on then to Stephen or...
I feel Kenny Loggins coming. Is it okay to play a joke on yourself?
I was going
to
say.
If you play a joke on yourself, would you laugh? It's kind of like tickling yourself.
Okay, here, we're ready to go.
All right. Go for it.
Wow.
The story I love about this song that Bob tells is when it
the fortunate
came on
thing
the
is I have the pots here. I can just turn it
when
off.
When it came on the radio once when he was a teenager, he took the time to stop, take his shoe off, hurl it across the room at the radio.
Yeah. Every time that song is played, it's like knifing Bob in the soul.
I love that song.
Do you really?
When I saw Dionne Warwick...
Bob just stormed out of the room.
Do you know that I saw Dionne Warwick last year?
Yes, it was in your blog, Monitor Mix.
Did you?
NPR.org/music.
Did she do that?
Yes, of course she did. I rose to my feet.
Wow,
I
do think along with everyone else.
I have no idea what you said, but I do think less of you.
It made me want to start a new series called I Threw My Shoe at the Radio.
There's only one other time I've ever thrown my shoe at... I'll save that for another show.
All right, can we get to the Damian Jurado, please?
Well, who was stopping you? You have the laptop in front of you.
I'm easily
yourself,
distracted.
Buddy.
All right, can we hear Cloudy Shoes by from Damian Jurado's album, St. Bartlett?
Haven't we heard that twice already?
Due out on May 25th.
You know, the thing about Dionne Warwick...
I wish
thinking that whole chord progression, he kicks off with that at the very beginning and he stays with it throughout the whole song. It's sort of a progression that a lot of songs would build to, right? And it sort of trails out this sort of Hey Jude progression,
exactly,
right?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, totally a Hey Jude.
It's the Hey Jude without the na-na-na, or it's the na-na-na without the Hey Jude.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's totally a progression. You keep, and it keeps feeling like it's building somewhere. And of course, it just stays exactly. But I love it.
Sort of like our,
sort
of like our lives.
Yes, and I love his voice too.
And the show. Love.
Damien Jurado's great.
Yeah, I like this.
I like it too.
Oh, she's there.
I'm here. Do I get to play another song?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Well, after my Tracy Thorn softies, I'm gonna play something that's a little on my singular track of trying to reclaim.
But are you gonna refer to this as a palate cleanser? I always love how you cleanse your palate with what you
with with metal, with a band called Javelina that I watched at South by Southwest, and then walked outside and saw Steven at the Morning Bender show. No, this I guess could be a palate cleanser. This is a guy, but he goes by the band name Hanoi Janes. He lives in a small town outside of Dresden in Germany, and I think you guys are going to like this. I don't know why I'm pandering to you guys. Why I suddenly
there's
feel
a whole
like
audience out there. We don't.
As soon as you say, "I think you guys are gonna like this," I just sit here in judgment.
He's got a big red pen.
This was in my stack of CDs that I would have loved to have gotten on the show. So I'm really glad you picked it.
Well, thanks, Robin.
You've already won a point with Robin.
Exactly. So you know he's going for his Phil Spector as recorded on an 8-track in his home in rural Dresden, Germany. This is Hanoi Janes with "Summer of Panic" from the album "Year of Panic."
It was so short, I had to hear the whole thing. That was great.
Yeah, I like that.
Did we lose Carrie again?
No, I'm here. I was just waiting for your response, Bob. I was waiting for you to say, I loved that one.
I was the first one to say that.
Good job, Carrie.
I was the first one to say that.
Oh, so I thought that was...
I'll rewind the tape.
Another winner from Brownstein.
I did.
No, I thought that one was pretty great. I thought that had a
and
really
it's just
good
one
energy.
Guy?
It's just one guy. One mic, one guy, 8 tracks.
Hanoi Janes, J-A-N-E-S.
Begs the question why he needs 8 tracks if it's just one man, one voice, one guitar.
Layers.
I got him there.
Owned.
Wow.
Burned.
You took him down. Or as you put me, said in an email to me the other day, you pantsed that guy.
Who did I say you pantsed? No, I don't remember. Some. Oh, yeah, never mind. I remember. Let's not talk about it.
Was it me?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, it was a picture of you, Stephen, that Robin and I send back and forth where we just Photoshop out off different parts of your clothing. And he said, "You look, you pants, Stephen, in this one."
So pants, Stephen.
Yep. I have no words.
Speaking of pantsing, Stephen.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
It's the last turn you're going
to
get.
It's my turn to be pants.
Is this your last?
No, I have two songs. This is so playing to type. This is just the beardiest folk pop thing ever, but the song, oh god, I hate you.
Beat me to that snore.
Oh, I hate you all so much. It's on one of Carrie's favorite labels, though.
Carrie, you want a cookie?
Carrie, you actually,
yes.
You like, god, I don't know if the listening public can hear me holding a chair aloft.
throw it at Robin and Bob.
Ready for me to throw it at Robin and Bob because they're jerks.
All right, play your song.
This is a,
what
an,
is
okay, absolutely wonderful band from absolutely wonderful band from Portland, Oregon called Horse Feathers. The album is called Thistled Spring. The song is called Thistled Spring. And the album comes out April 20th. This song I've listened to, I mean, I've had it for a few weeks. I've listened to it probably 20 times. It is an absolute headache remedy. I mean, all their lyrics are sort of about, like, there's a house that's not a home and there are disturbances and whatnot, but it's just so pretty. Please love this song. It's called Thistled Spring.
Wow, you really sold that.
I hate you. Oh no, the show's over because I murdered everyone.
You know, I have to wait for the most earnest introduction.
Oh my god! How can you still talk when I just stabbed you in the eye?
How can you fall for that every
time?
Listen
to more.
Fall for it every time. All right, well, where's this mopey beardy? Here we go. All right.
By the memories that it brings.
love the way the music says, all is well. But the words say, all is not well.
All right, that was really beautiful. I really liked it.
It is beautiful.
Very yeah. lovely.
That thing has seriously knocked out about 20 headaches since the first time I heard it.
That was just since this morning.
That was since the show started.
I had 20 simultaneous headaches when the show started.
Very pretty. I love his voice.
Yeah, and all those strings. It's just so nice. There's a Tiny Desk concert in our archive somewhere.
Of horse feathers.
And they're just, they're fantastic. I love them. And the album is This Old Spring. It comes out April 20th.
So when we were in Austin, I was on a panel, everybody.
Woo!
So the panel was...
What was that? Fancy Pants McGee? I didn't hear you.
So the panel was, they play a song. There's an audience full of people. We all have cards, including the people on panel. The panel was a bunch of great public radio folks. And they played a bunch of songs. And I kept giving mostly threes and fours and twos to a lot of the songs. And then this one came on. I had no idea who it was. They don't tell you. They just play something and you rate it. And then you talk about it, and then they tell you who it is.
Well, why don't you just, why don't we hear it blindly then?
All right. That sounds fine. I like that.
All right.
My heart's in the ashes. Come hit old combat. Like a long ago Sunday. When I walk through the alley on a cold winter's morning to a church house just to shovel some snow. I heard sirens on the train tracks, how naked it knew. And out to bar I've been hit by a local commuter just from walking with his back turned to the train that was coming so slow. Does it matter? But it don't do no good to get angry. So help me, I know. For a heart stained anger grows weak and grows bitter. You become your own prisoner as you watch yourself sit there wrapped up in the trap of your very own chain of sorrow. Brought down to zero, pulled out and put back there. Sat on the park bench, kissed the girl with the black hair in my head, shouted down to my heart, you better look out below. Hey, it ain't such a long drop, don't stammer, don't stir. From the diamonds in the sidewalk to the dirty in the gutter, and you carry those bruises to remind you wherever you go. You can gaze at.
Did they play through the entire song when you were?
No, they didn't. In fact, they didn't play through entire songs, and I didn't know who it was. I gave it an 8. It was a song that, although the song form is really very familiar, it had that beautiful space in it. It was well executed, great lyrics. And the only clue I'm going to give right now, because we're going to tell, is that
a couple of us already know what
I'm
this
actually going to take money out of my and put it on the table, because it's Justin Vernon and Bon Iver. And we have to mention Bon Iver. He's doing he's one of the artists.
Now, the money on the table is to signify that you're putting change in the Iver jar.
That's right, because whenever we mention his name now, it funded our trip to Austin. We have another trip coming up next year. It's part of a collection called Broken Hearts and Dirty Windows, Songs of John Prine. John Prine, of course, is a great songwriter in Chicago, still living, still writing great songs. And in particular, that record is from Bruised Orange, which is a record I think was his fifth album that Prine put out. I'm just going to read you something. I'll try to do this. This is a little...
Oh, God. Bob just pulled out a sheet with like 6 paragraphs.
It's not the Torah. It's just a... it's something Justin Vernon wrote It says, I was holding a Discman so carefully, I didn't want the CD to skip, and this was a bumpy road. We headed for a weekend at the lake in rural Wisconsin. Just another family in a minivan, dad at the wheel, mom riding shotgun, kid in the back seat with his headphones on, balancing that music player like it was a plate full of pearls. My parents had a big record collection, LPs and tapes made from those LPs. When they started coming out on compact discs, mom and dad chose their first pair carefully, Van Morrison and John Prine's Great Days, which is a collection record. So this was me deep in those foam pads, floating the player up and down to counter the roll of the road, and in my ears a voice like a next-door neighbor, the kind of guy that a teenager might be prone to ignore, but he had me. He had me right by the throat, my heart, with the simplest of words, hello in there, hello, which is a John Prine song. So this is Justin Vernon's thoughts on John Prine. I think John Prine is one of America's great songwriters, and I didn't appreciate him much at the time. I worked in record stores back then, and I, you know, I liked a handful of his songs, but I always noticed those records would constantly float out of the record store back then. Atlantic 82, 86, by the way, was the...
I love how you still remember
the catalog numbers.
Frightening information. Frightening information. Anyway, so that record that comes out in June 22nd.
I hope my kids look back on their childhood that fondly.
Yeah, yeah.
And write that. Something so eloquent.
They'll be writing about the games they played on their Nintendo DSi.
Mom and Dad.
There was Super Mario Brothers. I killed a Goomba.
Justin Vernon, the artist so nice you have to hear him twice. Just a second. Let me get some change
what do you
here.
Oh, yes.
Oh, what do you got? You know,
this is a new project from a band that's called Gangs.
Oh, you really are going to play more Justin Vernon.
He's one of more than two dozen artists who appear on this, so I think we're totally justified.
You know, we're Justin-fied. Is that like my second justified joke of the year? That's
yeah.
So
I think the other one horrible. Was 2009, though, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Everybody.
Gangs, that's G-A-Y-N-G-S is the name of the group. And it's just a bunch of artists from a bunch of different bands like Solid Gold and Megaphone. And the Rosebuds, and yeah, Justin Vernon is on the record too. I read that the group was inspired almost exclusively by the 10cc song "I'm Not in Love" wow. to do this record. And I think when you listen to this,
and "I'm Not in Love" is known for its famous production because the vocals were overdubbed four gazillion times.
Yes, just, should we just hear "I'm Not in Love" instead?
Just Lowell Cream and Kevin Godley. No, we can. I mean, sure. Okay.
What do we got?
I guess you want to put the fader up?
Yeah. Well, you guys sort this out, I'm going to steal Bob's money.
So that's of course. And Bob, I know you love this song.
Yeah, I like this band a lot because they were so creative.
Anyway, well, we'll go on to... So
we didn't even hear the vocals, which is the whole point.
That was all we were hearing.
Yeah, that was all just...
Overdubbed vocals over and over again.
That was not a synthesizer.
Seriously.
There was bump, 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 bump. But everything else was all their vocals.
Wow.
Schooled. Schooled. Yeah.
They would put tape recorders at bottom of stairs and hurl things downstairs.
Go, Bob.
And make music.
Go, Bob. Go, Bob.
You pantsed me. Fine.
Totally. On fire. Pantsed on fire.
Okay. The band's called Gaines, and the album is Related, R-E-L-A-Y-T-E-D, and the song is called The Gaudy
Side
of
nothing?
Town. This is The Gaudy Side of Town.
Thank you.
Podcast? Steamy.
I'm never going to dance again. Guilty feet have got no rhythm.
I could fix that buzz in when we do the when I edit it.
That buzz is intentional.
I'm just kidding.
Robin, can you make love with that song on?
Oh, yeah. It's the air is very damp in here right now.
Moist. Very moist.
I'm sorry, moist is a much more appropriate word.
That's careless. Oh, yeah. It's careless whisper.
I can hear that.
Have you guys done that thing on the internet or on Facebook where it tells you the number one song on your birth date? Because I just found out mine, not during the show. I wasn't doing that while
well, I'll do it on the
listening
show.
To that song. And my song I had never heard, but I'm wondering if Robin and Steven have. I think, Bob, you will. It is by a guy named Andy Kim.
Sure.
And it's called Rock
I'm
Me
so
Gently.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm really sorry about that, Carrie.
Wow.
Do you know that one, Steven?
It's just
I know Rock Me Gently.
Yeah, it's really it's too bad about that. How do you do that?
What is this?
Okay, go to my face.
Why don't you just pull up?
Go to Carrie Brownstein's Facebook.
Am I up there for a
minute? Yeah, you're
up. Listen to this for a second.
Oh, music.
Is this Rock Me Gently?
Yeah. Well, you kind of got an idea.
If this were Name That Tune, that was like
I was
one note.
Barely out of the birth canal, and you stopped the song.
Right. If you heard that song, you wouldn't want to come out.
Yeah. I'm staying.
All right, number one song on my birthday was...
All right.
Thank you, Bob.
I'm going to try it.
Oh, tests. The dates don't go that far back, Bob.
Yes!
Woo!
Zing Zam!
Oh, my God.
Wikipedia
I could
says
not
otherwise.
Have done better.
Oh, God. What is it?
Get Back by the Beatles.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Oh, you're so cool.
There's no way mine's going to be that good. All right.
Yeah, there's no way mine is either because they wouldn't make music back.
It's some flapper tune. What is this?
Oh, yes! Mine's perfect. Mine's Alone...
Making Love Out of Nothing at All? What is it?
Mine's Alone Again Naturally.
Oh, I love that song.
Sullivan.
Oh, my
you God.
That is perfect for you, Stephen.
Mine won't load. It's trying to find a database. That will come
I told
up
you
with
the dates don't go that far back.
The piano... It's when the piano rolls...
It's a...
They had charts, but it was
Scott
for piano.
It's a Scott Joplin tune, apparently.
you guys
it was
like
actually
me.
A megaphone crooner.
How about you?
Let's go all the way back to 1920 with this one. The song is...
It was actually a commercial for Mustache Wax.
I'm telling you, it blew up the database completely. It completely blew it up like a blank page. So
the lyrics to that song, in a little while from now, if I'm not feeling any less down, I promised myself to treat myself.
I had
and
no
travel
idea
to a nearby town
and never would have
to
guessed
the top.
That my song would be so appropriate.
Oh, God. It's such a depressing song.
I feel like that's my star sign.
I just trying to, you know, I tried.
No.
Yeah.
Bob's.
Wait, seriously, it didn't do it again?
It was completely black.
Okay, wait. No, I'll do it right in here, Bob. What's
April 10th is your birthday, right?
People what are going
to
be
all the way
do
back
math.
To 19... Donk,
I know. It's a 50, right?
I actually know what it is, but I'm not going to say what it is. All right, here we go, Bob. Here's the song. Is it up?
I was doing 1965.
Here's Bob's song.
Thanks, Gary.
Wow, Bob. Its wings are broken. Number one song on Bob's birthday.
Oh, you guys are so mean. You guys understand me better now.
Yeah, I do know. I do understand if... Yeah. Wait. That's why you went so rock and roll and so punk.
And that's why I can't stand Dionne Warwick.
I did the math wrong. I had your song as Secondhand Rose by Fanny Brice.
Anyone who wants to know the year, you can send me a tweet and I will send it back to you on Bob's birthday.
I didn't know it would go like this.
Were we playing a song?
Wait a minute. Were we doing a show?
Were we doing a
we've
show?
Got 10 minutes.
We're
going to
run out of studio
out of
time. We were so on schedule.
You know, people.
We just did.
Count on our podcast, you know, for a nice half hour, brief little, like, give me six songs, buddy.
Oh, you know who it is? It's Carrie Stern with Reading Rainbows. All right.
I think we're done.
Here's Carrie with Reading Rainbows.
Okay.
I got it. Carrie, another palate cleanser, please, for, I know, the 10cc song I just played.
Okay.
By Gangs.
Following Gangs, we have Reading Rainbow, which kind of is an annoyingly ironic name. You know, anyone that's familiar with the show Reading Rainbow. Not your number one choice when you reach into the grab bag of band names, but
you know,
hey.
I heard that they just referred to themselves as that before they really thought they were doing a band or anything, and then it just stuck. I don't think it was an intentional wink
no.
to the audience or anything.
Robin, obviously an expert on this band already, but I do agree. They were a band before. They called themselves Reading Rainbow. It's a duo. They're out of Philly. Reading Rainbows have an album coming out this fall called Prism Eyes, and this song is called Restless.
I'm still trying to make this database work. Did you pick UK charts?
For you?
Yes.
I did.
No, I picked US.
That's why I didn't know this song.
Oh.
Yeah, you shouldn't have done
that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's why you didn't know the song.
Good one. See, that was Bob. I said good one.
I know. Thanks, Bob.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm excited. The Sarah, the woman, she plays drums and sings, and then Rob plays guitar and sings. So I like seeing a band like that where everyone's making the most of. I saw your post on the All Songs blog, multitaskers, and the Reading Rainbows are multitaskers.
I like that. The multitasker referred to. In the case of the band we saw, Wyoke, the other day. Do you like Wyoke, Stephen?
Yeah, I've been known to like Wyoke.
The drummer with his right hand played perfect full drum kit, and with his left hand played keyboard. And I loved that.
And it was amazing.
And was good at both, yeah.
Wow. I'm sorry, I was listening, but so what happened is I realized that I accidentally picked the UK charts.
I said to Robin,
Bob,
I didn't know that song.
And he didn't know that song. And I said, okay, that's not why you didn't know the song, but fine. And so I did it with the US charts, and I got an even better number one hit on Bob's birthday. And I'm just going to play a quick sample of it.
It's going to be How Much Is That Doggy in the Window or something.
Wait, that is up there.
The doggy will have a good home.
Did you really just guess that blindly?
I could not. I couldn't make it come up.
This was, in fact, the number one song on your
Which, I have to say, when I play in my contra dance band, we do a waltz version of this and sing the song, and it's really fun.
No one to blame but yourself.
So I'm there. Come on, everybody.
It is astounding how appropriate these choices are.
Nobody would sing with me. It's just life.
God, let's contrast that to someone born last year, April 10th. They would be Lady Gaga Poker Face.
I wonder if
that is amazing.
There's a little difference between the two.
Just a little, though.
You realize we're going to lose Carrie in 5 minutes.
We have 5 minutes.
We're also going to lose all of our audience. Is anybody there?
Okay, if you're still listening, write in the comment section.
I still listen.
Robin is hot.
With three T's.
With three T's and three N's on Robin and three T's on T's. That way we'll know how many people were listening.
That'll differentiate among the people who are going to say that without listening to
it. Okay, let's get to the last pick then.
All right, so it's my turn?
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'm not going to give it a big introduction. Great band. This is the new
Here it is. Sorry.
The New Pornographers, a band I completely love. Their new album sounds like a New Pornographers record, which means it's great. I love the way their songs sound like five songs smashed together. Somebody mentioned earlier songs that end in a different place than they start. I love the way New Pornographers songs do this. From the album Together, which comes out May 4th, this is The Crash Years.
And tomorrow at the desk here, which tomorrow will have been in the past for you when you hear this.
That's in the past, yes.
Is Jacob Dylan's coming with Nico Case and Kelly Hogan to play
and
at the desk.
I'm not going to be here. Jerks.
Wow. We planned that one.
Yeah.
School. I feel like it's always a good year for music when a new Pornographers album comes out.
It's... not one of their albums has ever not made my year-end top 10 list for that year. I absolutely love them.
I was sitting here listening, trying to decide whether or not Carrie Brownstein was a new Pornographers fan.
No, Carrie's a good person.
On that note, thank you, everybody. Great show. I don't know. I think I'll cut out half of it, but you know, the stuff that stays was pretty good.
Yeah, there's some good music in there.
Dees.
Take care. Thank you,
Did
Portland.
Did you just say dece as a short form version of decent?
No problem.
Totes.
And Stephen of Portland, thank you. Stephen Thompson here in Washington, Robin Hilton, Carrie Brownstein. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Let's go out on the new Pornographers.